will take care of you, part 4. The Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, day 545, since January the 20th, 2017. Day 912, since January the 1st, 2016. And turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. We have read this in context for the past 3 messages. Jesus said, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You say, "Preacher, I just don't believe that." Well, let me assure you that that verse is true, for you're looking at a modern day human being who has lived that verse. And my oldest daughter, Danny, has adopted that verse for her life. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." You're looking at a man who has basically lived by faith over the past 40 years, preaching the gospel with a family of 9. And I cannot begin to tell you how much God has blessed me. My wife, who has been an enemy of mine for years, will yet testify of that fact. In other words, she's not going to lie to you. When you hear it from her, you will know for sure that it is the truth. My children will testify to that fact. I have several preacher friends who will testify to that fact, and all I'm doing is trying to put flesh and blood on this for you, because so many of you don't believe this verse. You think you need to seek everything but God and his righteousness to make it in this life, and I'm here to tell you that that is not the case. And it is always the case that if you do it God's way, hear me, and hear me well, I don't care how tough the road, I don't care how difficult, I don't care how painful, I don't care how much persecution you might face, I don't care how many family enemies you might gather, or what you might go through, if you do it God's way, it may be slow, but bless your little heart, it will be show. And God will show up and show out in your life, and he will do this verse big time in your life in time to come. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word, your eternal word, and we should be ashamed in America and around the globe that we don't obey your holy word. Oh, we claim to be great Christians. We claim to be super Christians. We claim to be busy, be Christians for you, but Lord, we don't, many of us don't believe your holy word, and therefore we don't practice it. We have our little slick devices, our tricks, out of the mottos, fake it till you make it, our fleshly ideas that come straight from hell. Have mercy and grace upon your people during this week of the days of awe, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the faith, the Jewish faith that our faith rests upon. The first, not only is the Savior Jewish, the first Christians were Jewish. The first proclaimers of the gospel, for the most part, were Jewish. And we are just thrilled, we are excited out of our minds at what you have designed and what you have done to bring forth the Christian faith and the graft, wicked, evil, ungodly, perverted Gentile sinners into the tree of life. And we give you the glory, praise, and honor, and we are ecstatic about your comprehensive salvation. And we pray that others would taste and see tonight that you're good, and that you will save them, and that you will give them the grace to change and to be what you would have them to be. Save every lost sinner under the sound of my voice, even those who may be religious and who are church members. Open their blinded eyes and save their souls, and help them to be reminded. I too was raised in the church with a dad as a pastor, a Baptist preacher, a mother Pentecostal preacher, and lost and on my way to hell, and was glad to be going, foolishly glad, proclaiming that I would drive the bus to hell. So stupid and so foolish was I. I got saved in spite of religion and outside of religion, and got saved out of the club by your grace. And I was running headlong to hell. You ran me down and saved my wretched soul. And you can, if you can save me, you can save anybody. And I pray for everybody to come to know somebody who can save anybody. His name is Jesus. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, one of the great preachers of the past, said, no life is complete that does not feel upon it some great compulsion driving it. And that is so true. I feel so sorry for people who have no drive, who have no fire in their belly that comes from above. They are not upbeat, they're not positive, they're not optimistic. They're depressed, they're defeated, and they're disgusted, oftentimes because they have sinned a sin-filled life, making them losers in life. Because if you live a life and your aim is to sin against God, you will be a loser. You will be a failure. There's no two ways about it. And if you keep on losing, one day you will become depressed, defeated, and disgusted, oftentimes beyond remedy. And sin will cause you to lose badly all the time, every day, and all of your life. You need to trust Christ as Savior, and as I said the other day, get on the winning side and repent of your sins once you become a Christian, and continue to confess and repent of your sins and turn away from your sins and be a true Christian and not a phony, not a hypocrite. And then you'll be living real life, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and never in despair. Maybe knocked down, but not knocked out. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. And so, beloved, if we are not to be concerned about or driven by material things, if we are not to fret like those who have no hope and no confidence in God, and I have a dire prediction that I am predicting tonight, I have touched on it before, you're going to see more and more so-called church members, so-called Christians, get higher and higher on drugs, get drunker and drunker on liquor, because they cannot handle the pressures of life, and certainly not the Christian life, because they have chosen to not do this verse, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. They're climbing up like the devil, up the fence and up the wall, instead of coming through the door of life, Jesus Christ. They are phonies, therefore, and hypocrites and thieves. And you can only do that for so long, particularly if you name the name of Christ. And so I predict, and I do it very humbly, I wish it were not so, but I believe with all of my heart we have just seen the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg of so-called Christians and so-called pastors, especially, and so-called church leaders throwing in the towel and getting to the point, driven by the devil and not by God, to commit suicide. Be careful who you are following. And this is all designed by the devil and the father of Judas to cause lost people who need hope to not have any hope, because their hope, even though they were going contrary to God and living their lives, every time they passed by that First Baptist Church Cathedral in Podunk, wherever, they had hope that those people knew something he or she did not, and one day they would get in there. But if they hear that the pastor has killed himself, imagine how devastating that is. I'm here to tell you, saints, God is always taking care of his people. He is now, and he always will. But you must do what he tells you to do. And so if we are not to spend our lives pursuing money and worldly goals to make more money or die trying, what then are we to pursue? What are we to expend our energy to accomplish? As he continues this discourse, if you will, Jesus Christ, the Lord says, but instead of these other things, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's for every old Christian, middle-aged Christian, every young Christian, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, or you will lose your mind. I assure you. There's no other way to be sustained but to do it God's way. You're worried about nothing. You're worried about too many things that don't amount to a hill of beans, in the words of Charles McKinney. You need to get your mind on this, Jesus' words, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Are you right with God? And his righteousness. Are you living right? Are you clothed in his righteousness, the Lord Jesus' righteousness? And are you living a righteous lifestyle, or are you striving to do so? And all these things that you're all concerned about and worried about, give it to God, make your requests known unto him, and all these things shall be added unto you. I am a living witness. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we say that God will take care of us, it does not mean that we don't have to do anything at all. It does not mean that we have no issues to deal with, and we don't have to labor and do what God has commanded us to do. See, this is the going idea among many so-called Christians. God loves us so much just as we are, and we can just pretty much, they won't say this, we can pretty much do whatever we want. Or we can stand out in the street and shoot somebody and God will still love us. Are you kidding me? God loves everybody. But if you have this notion in your mind that you can do whatever you want, and you can shack up, and you can commit fornication, and you can commit adultery, you can have a girlfriend in the church, pastor, you can be a homosexual, you can be a liar and a cheat, and think God's going to bless your life, you have been deceived. You have been bamboozled. And you have run amok. It doesn't work that way. And for you to have that mentality, something is desperately wrong. But so many have it. And they wonder why life is not working for them behind the scenes. When they close the door in their apartment or their house. Why Christianity is not working for them, because they're not practicing Christianity. They're not practicing, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It means that he will provide for our temporal needs while we keep our eyes and our efforts on eternal things such as his kingdom and righteousness. No, everybody does not have to go full time. God calls certain people, I believe, to go full time for him. And I believe that God tells them something similar to what he told me some 40 years ago. Somebody has to be full time for me, Daniel. And I've chosen you. Now, where would I get that notion from? When nobody was telling me that at all, that was not the going thing at the time. And I didn't want to be full-time. And God knew why, and I'm not going to tell you why. I wanted to serve God, but I wanted to serve God my way. And he said, no, Daniel, I don't want you to do that. Because I know you. Dr. Warren Wiersbe says, if we put God's will and God's righteousness first in our lives, He will take care of everything else. What a testimony it is to the world when a Christian dares to practice Matthew 6:33. What a tragedy it is when so many of us fail to practice it, and in fact, end of quote, and in fact die never practicing it. Going to heaven never practicing this verse. What does it mean to seek the kingdom of God? The Greek word translated as seek means to seek in order to find out by thinking, by meditating, reasoning, or inquiring into. It means to seek after, to aim at, to strive for. Further, it means to crave, to demand or require something. Ask yourself, dear friend, what is the thing you crave the most in life? Is it truly God? Do you crave the kingdom of God and God's will being done not only on earth as it is in heaven, but in your life? Being clothed in His righteousness and practicing right living? Examine yourself and see whether or not you be in the faith. It is a good thing to do before you die. Do you desire it strongly, almost to the point that you can't live without it, and understanding that desire, that craving does not come from you? Is a God thing through and through, isn't it? For those of you who know what I'm talking about, you don't have to fake it. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to pump it up. What we have in many churches today on Sunday morning is a pump-up service, dealing with a bunch of dead, some people not even saved, and dead Christians who are dead because of their trespasses and sins, walking in the flesh all week. One pastor of a mega church proclaimed one Sunday morning that he can sense the lust and the evil in the flesh in the church, that so bad, so much so he could smell it. The sin, the evil that was going on in the church had a stench to it. And I would imagine that's the case in many churches today. And may God help our pastors who wink at sin in the lives of the parishioners. That's not your job, sir. You know about the adultery going on right there in front of you in the church. You know about the homosexuality going on right there in front of you at the church. You know about the fornication. The young girls who are getting pregnant by one guy who happens to be your son. And the secret abortions that even your daughter has had. Don't you get mad at me. Don't ask me who's telling you my business. God knows your business. I don't need anybody to tell me nothing. I know for a fact that's going on. And just so happened on yesterday, I told you that there are people in the church claiming to be Christians who are drug addicts, taking oxycodone and all of these other doctor prescribed medicines to get by. Make no mistake about it, the person next to you is on something right now. Ambien and other things. God knows what. And we have Christian doctors prescribing it to the saints. I bring that up because when the popular church-related show called Greenleaf came on last night, one of the pastor's daughters got high on some oxycodone or something and went crazy and had to be seen by a doctor. And so the question is, ladies and gentlemen, do you crave the kingdom of God? Do you crave the kingdom of God and God's will being done on earth as it is in heaven and also in your life? Does it bother you when sin creeps into your life? Have you ever prayed a prayer like this? Holy Father God, I am doing evil. Lord, you know it's in me, and you know it's hard for me to get out of it. And so, Holy Father God, I want to seek your kingdom and your righteousness. I pray that you break this bondage, break this evil and this sin in my life. I pray that you deliver me from it. I'm not talking about you talk with somebody else about it and they had to lay there and in many cases nasty, evil, ungodly, stinking hands on you. Stop letting people lay hands on you, people. I'm telling you, some of y'all got demons because you let people lay hands on you. Excuse me, don't you get mad with me. You know it. You have changed since so-and-so laid hands on you. Now you have an extraordinary spirit of lust because he's passed that lust demon on you. I said, preacher, I never thought you would say something like that. That sounds like what the old saints used to say. Maybe the old saints were onto something. But you know there's been a difference since so-and-so laid their hands on you. You better be careful. Do you crave personal holiness and righteousness? Do you find yourself being honest with God and saying, God, what I have done is wrong and evil, and Lord, I don't want to do that again. I pray that, Lord, you would help me, and I pray, Lord, that you would take that out of my life, that I won't do that evil in your sight again. Because, Lord, I fall under conviction. I feel like my fellowship is broken with you when I do that. Nobody knows about it, and it's a rather small thing, but it bothers me. I feel like our fellowship is broken. Would you please deliver me? See, when you start praying like that, you're getting really real. You're getting real. That's a prayer in the black and dark night. Nobody is hearing it but God. You don't want to pray about that at the prayer meeting. And by the way, be very careful about sharing all of your struggles with everybody. Because there might be a devil right there in the prayer meeting, a sex addict ready to pounce, knowing that you have a weakness, and you better be careful that you're not trying to send that signal so that somebody will pounce. Or the devil is putting that in your mind to say that. There's some things you ought not to bring out, especially if you are a female, and in some cases a male. Share everything with God. Share some things with people. Can somebody say amen? Sister Mary Foster used to say, you tell some, but you don't tell all, something to that effect, when you're dealing with human beings. Do you crave the kingdom of God like a man in the desert? Do you crave the kingdom of God like a man in the desert craves water, or a man in the Arctic craves a warm fire? Do you long for righteousness like a drowning man longs for air, or a wounded man longs for healing? What is Jesus telling us? He is telling us that if we must burn the midnight oil, don't burn it worrying over bills that you don't have the money to pay. Burn it in prayer and Bible reading and having faith in God. If you must fret and worry, don't fret and worry over the near empty refrigerator. Fret for the soul of your lost neighbor or coworker. Be concerned about that and let it drive you to witness to them and to live right before them. If you must let your passions burn, don't burn for money and material things. Burn against sin, your own sin, and labor to replace it with righteous living. Make up your mind, ladies and gentlemen, to do what Jesus said: seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Don't you worry your little head. God will take care of you if you put him first. Eliza Hewitt said, seek ye first the kingdom, not the things of earth. Priceless are the treasures of immortal worth. Like a flitting shadow, time will pass away, but the heavenly riches change not nor decay. Seek ye first the kingdom, seek the gift of God. 'Tis the Savior's offer, purchased by his blood. Seek ye first his glory, be it life's sweet aim, him to serve and honor, trusting in his name. Seek ye first the kingdom, 'tis the Master's voice, in his precious promise evermore rejoice. All things else, he said, shall be added unto you, in his precious promise evermore rejoice. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you are with us today and you do not yet know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of your sins as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in him for salvation from sin and hell. And before I share clearly how to be saved, I want to share with you the comprehensiveness of salvation, the benefits of salvation, if you will. Walter A. Elwell said, the comprehensiveness of salvation may be shown in the following way. Number one, by what we are saved from. This includes sin and death, guilt, and estrangement. Some of you are estranged from your wife or husband or your mother or your father, and that's a bad situation. But what's worse is to be that way with God. Ignorance of truth, bondage of habit and vice, fear of devils and demons, all of these things will go away once you trust Christ as Savior in a very real sense. Fear of death, fear of life, fear of God in the wrong way, and fear of hell in the right way. Despair of self-alienation from others. Pressures of the world. This is what Jesus saves you from. These are the benefits of salvation. Living a meaningless life. I've said that oftentimes to you without reading this piece or sharing this piece. Paul's own testimony is almost wholly positive. Salvation has brought him peace with God. Can somebody say amen? Access to God's favor and presence. Hope of regaining the glory intended for men. Endurance in suffering. Steadfast character. An optimistic mind. These are some of the benefits of getting saved through Christ. People who are saved are optimistic. They are positive. They are upbeat. They're winners. They're not losers. And it's not because of them or anything they did. It's because of Jesus, who has already won. Inner motivations of divine love and power of the Spirit. Ongoing experience of the risen Christ within his soul. And sustaining joy of God. Salvation extends also to society, aiming at realizing the kingdom of God, to nature, ending its bondage to futility and brutality, and to the universe, attaining final reconciliation of a fragmented cosmos. I like it real good. So in order to receive this salvation, my beloved, so that you can get to that place in life where God will take care of you. And this fragmented life that you're living, you must trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, first and foremost. And you must first accept the fact, in order to do that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. There is a punishment always for sin. These are eternal realities. They will never change. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's the reason why you went to that funeral last week. That's the reason why you saw that funeral on television 2 weeks ago. And that's the reason why your mother and father, getting up in age, have already bought a plot at the city cemetery. We all die because of sin. Every last one of us must cease to exist. If that scares you, you need to trust Christ as Savior. If you have fear of death, you need to trust Christ as Savior tonight. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. So thirdly, ladies and gentlemen, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And hell is a sad, dark, painful, agonizing, tormenting place And the saddest part about hell is that it is forever. That's how destructive sin is. If you don't get taken care of on this side of the grave by trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior, it will be forever, according to the words of Jesus Christ, according to the Word of God. And so hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. This is your opportunity. This may be your only opportunity, so take it. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son," his name is Jesus Christ, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose again from the dead. Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. He is the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world. Do you know him tonight? If you don't, you need to trust him as your Savior. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried, and rose again. And pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. For Romans 10:9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou, you, shalt be saved. Verse 13 says, "For whosoever," that word whosoever again means anybody at any time, red, yellow, black, or white. We're all precious in God's sight. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Saved from what? I just told you. All of the things you'll be saved from. A meaningless life. A purposeless life. Saved from the fear of death. Saved from the fear of devils and demons. Saved from hell itself. What a deal. What a plan. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, the sacrificial Lamb of God. Yesterday, we celebrated the Day of Atonement with our Jewish friends. Yom Kippur. 10 days before that, we celebrated Rosh Hashanah, the celebration of the creation of the world, the real new year, if you will. Went through the 10 days of awe with our Jewish friends, all culminating in the Day of Atonement, when they would bring animals to sacrifice for the sins of the priest and the people. One day, Jesus Christ, if you will, the Son of God, God wrapped in flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, came down off of his wonderful and beautiful throne and died on the cross as the eternal Lamb of God, and suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins and for mine. He died for you and he died for me. And he was buried and rose again on the third day, to save our souls from hell. That was the Day of Atonement for you and me, once and for all, for the entire world. So, dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and pray and ask him to save your soul. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. If you want to be saved right now, wherever you are in the world, India, Japan, China, North Korea, South Korea, Nigeria, Kenya, France, England, Jamaica land, wherever you are, trust Christ as Savior today, because this may very well be your last opportunity to believe on Christ. Follow me in prayer right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I have stolen before. I have lusted after people and things before. And I have committed many other sins in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins, as I now believe with all of my heart in the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. I don't understand it all, but I thank you, Lord, for it all. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past, and to turn from my old evil ways, and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life. And that is trusting you, trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com or Gospel Light House of Prayer and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior tonight, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our other emails and ways of communication. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. If you don't believe that, we have literally thousands of people who will tell you that we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you. Real good is my prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.